Well, last Sunday, I was at Breakaway with a bunch of people. We had an amazing time, an absolutely amazing time. And I mentioned, I think, on Wednesday that we had one first-time salvation, three rededications, one person got baptized in the Holy Spirit, at least one. It was just amazing to see God move. It was absolutely powerful. And so I got back and went through Aaron's message, and he did a fantastic job of talking about Paul, his missionary journeys, the adversities that he went through and everything, and about anxiety in particular, about how we faced that. It was beautiful. And that was something that had been big time on my heart, reading through Acts, as we have been as a church together. So that was great. And then on Wednesday, Cassie Fitzgerald talked about 1 Peter 4 and about struggles and handling struggles and everything. And so it's kind of a little bit of a theme there. And the same thing again, sort of on my heart as I've been reading the scripture. And so I want to kind of dovetail off that a little bit. You know, we don't want to spend too much time talking about struggle and failure and disappointment and all those things and everything. However, those topics do touch on something that is near to all of us. Not necessarily dear, but near to all of us. And Jesus says, in this life, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But then be of good courage, for I've overcome the world. But we will go through some difficulties, and we can call them trouble, challenges, adversities, problems. I'm not sure. I don't really know exactly how to differentiate between them, how to really classify them all. I'm sure there's brilliant people who do that and go, this is what a difficulty is. This is what a trouble is. This is what a problem is. This is what adversity is. And you go, oh. And so then we're supposed to figure out, which one am I having and how do I do that? I'm not really sure. And the other thing that I'm not certain of is what necessarily is the source of what it is that we go through sometimes and all that. But I do know that we face them, and that typically we would all be in agreement that they aren't very fun. They aren't very fun. But life without struggle is not life. Life without struggle is not life. If you're not going through a struggle, if you're not struggling through something, you're either on vacation, which is only temporary, or you're dead, which is much more permanent. And so if you're not going through struggles, then you're not living. All right. Life is going to bring struggles. And I think sometimes what we've got to figure out is, how am I going to handle the struggles that come my way? I've been going through some struggles and challenges, and I'm in the midst of some right now. And I'm in the process of continuing to modify my perspective on struggles. I think maybe as we go through life, we kind of fine tune some things a little better, make some big adjustments on how we look at things, maybe some theological approaches, and sometimes just perspectives that we have on these things. And I've been going through this my whole life to this point. Let me explain here real quick. When I was a student at the University of Idaho, I spent a couple summers working in the South. And what I would do when I was down there in the South working is I would visit churches. And some of them were kind of the classic churches you imagine up in the Appalachians, up in the mountains, these little old churches. And there'd be like 13 people all playing a guitar, and then one person in the congregation, just sitting there. And it was just this kind of big, kind of hootenanny sort of church service kind of thing. And that was amazing. But then once in a while, we'd be in kind of a bigger city, and we visit go to a church service there. And I went to one big church there, and was talking to someone in leadership there at the church, and it had an interesting discussion. And he was telling me that if you were sick, if you had some sort of illness, that you weren't welcome at church there. You weren't supposed to go through the front doors of the church and come in sick, because to them, they believed that meant you had no faith. And I'm not sure why people without faith can come through the door, but that was where they drew the line somehow. And I was kind of trying to process that and figure out, what do I do with that? And how do you get there? Whatever. And when I got back to Pullman from the summer, I had talked to Pastor Carl, one of our founding pastors here. He was a brilliant man, very, very wise man. And I asked him, what do you do with that? What perspective on that? And he said, well, you have to understand that problems, sicknesses, illnesses fall into several categories, and we have to be able to discern what's going on. An illness might be self-inflicted. If you're jumping off roofs and breaking your legs, you need to stop that. And you can rebuke the devil all you want, but it's probably not the devil's. You got to stop jumping off roofs. So sometimes our problem is self-inflicted, and we need to learn not to do that anymore. Stop it, okay? And then sometimes there is something maybe going on. We have the adversary of our soul, the enemy of our soul, and we need to address it from a supernatural perspective. And he says, then sometimes God is doing something. He's working in our lives, and we need to understand, what is the purpose of God? And we've got to be able to understand and embrace that and say, God, what is it that you're doing? And so at least three different categories that we've got to kind of look at there. And I love that. I still think about that a lot today. And in fact, I think that we can probably extrapolate that a little bit and say that's probably true with a lot of just the struggles that we go through in life, not necessarily just illnesses or sicknesses. I might be going through something difficult, and it might be my own doing. It may not be an illness, sickness. It might just be a struggle. It might be my own doing. It might be the work of the enemy. It might be God is doing something. And it's so important to be able to discern and go, what is going on here? What's going on? So we're not attacking it from the wrong perspectives. Sometimes it's pretty clear what is going on. All right. I was skiing with Liam for his birthday just about 2 weeks ago, and we were up at Brunage Mountain where I learned to ski in high school in McCall, and I fell down. I don't know, I was probably going off a 100-foot cliff or something awesome, and I fell down. Actually, I was just on the easy trail thing, actually, to be honest. I was just convicted and thought I should tell the truth there, and I just fell down. And I landed on my arm. And it knocked the wind out of me, and I was trying to, Liam was ahead of me that time, and so I'm trying to yell to him. I'm like, Liam, you know, I couldn't even yell, whatever. And I bruised a rib, and popped it out of place, and my chiropractor's like popped it back in a couple times now, and trying to work on it. He says, yeah, it's going to hurt for a while, I'm going to have to play with it, whatever, and all that. Okay, now, the source of that problem is very clear. It's the devil. And so I'm rebuking him and all that and everything. And so, but sometimes it isn't very clear. Sometimes they're going, I don't know what the source of my struggle is. And it can be really challenging, really, really difficult. However, and this is the point of the message this morning. Every difficulty I don't like in life has this in common. It is a test. Every difficulty I have in life has this thing in common. It is a test. I'm not sure necessarily where from all the time, but it is a test. It's a test of what attitude I'll have. Will I seek God through that test, through that challenge, for His will in it, and whether I'm going to glorify Him through that process or not. I have been repeatedly challenged by Paul as we've been reading through the book of Acts as a church. It's just absolutely amazing to me. I want to look at a passage of scripture here from Acts 16 here, and we'll just kind of read through this. This is after, remember this young lady, and there's a demonic thing going on, and she was telling people's fortune and future or whatever, and Paul finally was tired of it, and he goes, and he's like, enough, and casts out the demon, and then they're all mad, and so, you know, the people who are financially benefiting from this whole thing, and so they had him arrested and all that. And so the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, okay, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Okay, another difficult thing for Paul. Went through a ton of this, okay? When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, okay, being very safe, buried them in the prison here. They're going to be very safe. And fastened their feet in the stocks. They're going nowhere. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, now right away, he's paused for a moment and go, really? Okay, really, Paul? You know, I mean, we kind of read through that sometimes, it kind of quick, they're saying, that's neat and mature of them and everything. But put yourself in that position. You've been beaten severely. Paul references that there were multiple times he was beaten, the 40 lashes minus one. And Jewish tradition said that 40 was deadly. And so just short of death, this might have been one of those times, beaten just short of death, locked in the inner cell, feet in the stocks, you know, it's time for praise and worship, okay? And I look at that and I go, Paul, that's incredible. Absolutely amazing. And it just blows my mind. Okay, little test here, and he's doing real well. And the other prisoners were listening to them. All right, they're going, these guys are nuts. Okay, these guys are crazy. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Pause there for just a moment again. Okay, you're in that position. You're praising and worshiping God. We're all familiar with, we send Judah first, right? And then God brings the deliverance. You won't even have to fight. I'm going to bring the deliverance. You just worship me, okay? And we're probably thinking of scripture. We're back, Old Testament references and everything. Paul's there right now and everything. And so what do? You run out of there, right? You're free, okay? It's not what Paul did. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. Duh. Okay, that's what normal people would do. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights. He's like, "Really?" Okay, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. And I love this. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Okay. Now what it doesn't say there, we find out later, is then they go back to prison. Because the next day, the magistrates say, "You know what? We need to release them. All right, so go release them." And so the guards, whoever, go to say, "Hey, you can let them go." And Paul and Silas, they go, "Nuh-uh. Right, we're Roman citizens. They messed up. You tell them to come down here and release us themselves." All right, and so they do. They come down there. "Sorry, we didn't know you were Roman citizens. We did mess up. I'm going, go ahead." They went back to the prison again. Paul had an understanding of the test that was in front of him that just blows my mind. He had a perspective on this that I just don't get, that really challenges me big time. And I'm trying to look at the tests that I'm going through with different perspective. Our initial natural response will sometimes get in the way of the intended supernatural response. Our initial natural reaction will sometimes get in the way of the intended supernatural response to what is going on. Are we going to panic or be in touch with God's purposes? Are we going to whine or are we going to win through it? Are we going to be a victim or are we going to see the victory? It's my choice over and over and over and over and over again. And I believe that every one of these things are a test. They're going to test. What is my response going to be? Every single one of these things. So we're going to look at this little life cycle of faith here. This is just this thing that I'm kind of looking at. We're going to start with a test, but I think we have this little graphic here. Okay. And so we're tested. That gives us a testimony. That's the story of the test and what happened through the whole thing, what God did. Then what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to testify of God and his greatness. And then guess what happens? We keep going, all right? We're back to test, okay? And in the middle of that test, we come out of the other side with a testimony, and then we're supposed to testify what God has done, and he's taken us through. And we're not done. Then we go back to test. We're going to talk about that here just a little bit. Let's start with test. And we need to entertain the idea that what we're going through is a test. Entertain the idea that what we're going through is a test, all right? Now, whatever it is, okay, that we're, this is a 45-pound bumper plate is what this is called. And imagine if you're just carrying this through life, all right? You're just walking around with this thing, and you know, and someone comes up to you, "How you doing?" And you go, "Burdened, duh." You know, don't you? Can't you see what I'm carrying? Okay, what a kind of dumb question. You know, I'm gonna talk about the weather. Not really. Okay. What I'm going through is heavy, okay? This is heavy. This is difficult, okay? I wish things were different, all right? How you doing? Tired. I'm burdened, okay? But things change when all of a sudden this burden gets attached to some sort of purpose. If just like this, it's just a heavy weight and it's just a burden. Whoa. What are you doing?
I'm working out.
You're working out. How you doing? Isn't that heavy? I told you your mom was going to freak out when we did that. Great. Go on. Jab your mic. Nailed it. Now, I want Krishna to come up because Krishna's been obviously working out, and we've been talking about this a little bit. I did a little bit of CrossFit thing, and you might remember, and everything, and I talked about I quit because it was too heavy, and the weights are too heavy. You've done the workout thing before. In fact, you were going on that anniversary cruise, right? I think that was going on, and you were like, "Man, I'm gonna do this. Get ready for the cruise and everything." What was going on there, and how'd that go?
I think I made it 4 days.
Four days. Okay.
And that was it.
All right.
It didn't work out very good.
It got heavy. Okay. So you quit. I think they're just kind of, things got busy. You kind of stopped and it just,
life,
and picked back
family,
up again. Away you go. All that. Yeah. Okay. So, but you're doing something totally different now and everything. Yeah. When did that start and why? What's been going on?
Well, the reason is because the second law of thermodynamics, this was headed towards a universal tendency of disorder and disorganization.
And chaos.
Yeah. In December, knowing I'm turning 30, March 7th, I was like, I better do something or something might not ever start again. So a buddy of mine owned a CrossFit gym. I got a hold of him and I said, hey, I got to make some serious changes here. I don't like the way I'm headed. Help me. And that he did.
Wow. All right. So you got going in December, and so what's kind of been the approach to it? I mean, you've made it more than 4 days, obviously, and everything.
I wanted to hit a certain weight by 30.
Okay.
And so he's like, "All right, great, let's go."
So you had a goal.
Yeah.
Here we go. He knows what he's doing. He's
exactly.
A coach.
Yeah. He did CrossFit competitions. He owned a CrossFit gym. He's got it right there in his house, full gym set up and everything. And I go there right after work, and I. About a month and a half in, I just hit a wall. I was just getting discouraged, and I was like, "Calvin, what is the deal, man?" Right when I feel like I can get, good grips on a certain workout, you don't let me do that workout again. You keep asking more of me, and I was getting real discouraged.
You want to get good at something.
Yeah.
You
want to,
I'm getting somewhere. Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't feel like I was accomplishing everything because I couldn't beat my numbers or beat my time or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, whoa, just a second. I had a really bad attitude. We were out running.
You did.
Which, we were out running, and he's like, "Listen, if you keep being negative, you can find somewhere else to go." And I was like, whoa, just a second. And I was like, "Why? I'm feeling so discouraged, And he's like, "Listen, you came to me, and you asked me for certain results." And he goes, "In order to get those results, you're on about this
trajectory.
He goes, "Most people that I come and train are like here to start out.
Yeah. Or Which 4 days.
Yeah,
quit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Or 4 days and quit.
Yeah.
So he's like, "You asked me of this. And so that's what I'm getting you out of you." I mean, he rips the lungs out of my chest every day. And so it
you,
was,
you heal quickly. That's great.
Yeah. So, He helped me change my perspective.
Yeah.
Because he was realizing that once you don't need to go back and tell yourself that you're that good anymore. He keeps asking more of me
wow.
every day.
Wow.
And so I was able to change my perspective in January and just keep going and going. So
awesome. So are you hitting some PRs and stuff? Are you seeing improvement? What's happening?
I've never really worked out before. I couldn't hardly put up a bench or squat or anything like that. And my, just staying with it, we did 6 weeks at 4 days a week to start out. And then I wanted more. So we're at 5 days a week now. And I'm just going and I like the way things are heading. And
cool.
I can't wait to just, I feel more fit. I don't have to hold my breath while I bend over and tie my shoes anymore. It's a great thing. It's really good. I've seen lots of improvements.
I'm pretty sure I saw you asking your kids to tie your shoes a couple of times, so that's great. So,
there you go.
The truth of slip-ons, here it comes out.
Exactly.
And so what's been the hardest workout you've done so far?
Hardest workout, I gotta say, they're different every day.
Yeah.
Hardest workout probably. So, gosh dang, the workouts are like an hour and 45 minutes a day. We do like 20 minutes of cardio. Then we strict lift. So whatever muscle group we're working on that day. for about an hour, and then we do a CrossFit workout. So it the hardest one, which this seems really, really simple. It's there's no weight involved. It's just body weight. So 20 pull-ups, 30 push-ups, 40 sit-ups, and then 50 air squats. Just, I mean, with no weight.
Yeah, I can tell you've done those. That was very natural.
You do five rounds of that though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took me, after already working out for like 45 minutes, it took me an hour and 9 minutes to do that five times.
Wow.
So
wow.
That was pretty grueling.
That's incredible. And you've been wearing a weighted vest, running and all that
stuff. Yeah, so now he's like, oh, you can run a mile and a half, no problem. All right, here, throw on this 40-pound weighted vest. So now we're running mile and a half, you know, runs with weighted vest and just putting on, you know, more weight, more resistance, using bands, you know, just...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. All right. So you got a coach that's challenging you and everything. You're making probably getting
that's
someplace.
That's the hugest thing is that, you know, I got a buddy who knows what he's doing and he appreciated the accountability that I bring, you know, coming in every day. And so it's been an awesome relationship because he's helped me out tremendously, you know, and keeping my perspective and my attitude right. But then I also, his wife can't figure it out. She's like, you keep coming back for more. <I'm> like, well, I want to be, you know, healthy. And so, you know, I'm continuing to do that. But.
All right. So last question. When you see one of these, what used to be your reaction to that?
It's just keep walking.
Keep walking.
just keep on walking. And you never negotiate with Calvin. He's writing up the workouts and I'm like, hey, instead of doing 70 lunges, can we do 35 jumping lunges, 35 lunges? Because before I couldn't even do a jumping lunge. I could not get out of the hole on a jumping lunge. Now I can do those. So a lunge is just, you know, like
yeah,
this.
That's just that.
A jumping lunge is you gotta jump in between each other. And before, I literally could not put four of those together.
It's a falling lunge.
It was a falling lunge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I am like, hey, you know, I can do the jumping lunges faster. What if we do 35 and 35? He goes, oh, no problem. He erases it, and then he marks up 70 of each. So I've learned my lesson that whatever he puts up on the whiteboard, you just do. You don't say anything about it. Because if you want to negotiate with him, you'll lose.
I think Calvin might be an angel in disguise. This is amazing.
Oh,
sounds a little bit like the perspective from God. And so now when you see this, you're like, hey, this is necessary.
It.
Yeah, I got this. Cool.
Yeah, because that right there is helping me get to where I want to be.
Yeah, awesome. All right, cool. Well done, bro.
Cool.
Great job, man. Thank you. Cool. I'm okay. It's interesting that he has to have resistance to get where it is that he's going to go. And that weight, without any purpose, is just weight. All right? Now, please make no mistake. There are weights that we carry that we shouldn't. There's sin that's weight. There's things that entangle us that we need to let go of. But there are some tests that are weight that we're fighting that if we'll learn to embrace, it's amazing what it is God can do through those things. Pastor Phil, I was talking about this, and he said, we fight the what instead of embracing the why. So if I got this weight, it's the what? What is this? What is this? Or, you know, instead of understanding the why. Okay, the reason I've got this is to get me someplace. The reason that this thing is here is to accomplish a purpose. And God brings tests, life brings tests, and if we'll embrace them the way that God intends us to embrace them and understand the purpose that that test can accomplish, then all of a sudden things can change. Instead of it being an obstacle, it becomes an opportunity.
Amen.
Instead of an obstacle, it becomes an opportunity. The test just might be from our coach, might be from God, and if so, good luck fighting that. He might just go, no problem, 70 and 70. Job 23:10, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. If it's God, you aren't likely to do well fighting it. We get focused on the discomfort of the test instead of on the purpose of the test. And we need to ask him sometimes, God, why have you brought this? Paul understood the secret of that. And when we understand the secret of that, then we're free to stay in prison when all the doors are open. Because we're tapped into a purpose way greater than our comfort, way greater than our freedom, way greater than our pain. He put himself back in prison, understanding that God had a purpose in the whole thing. It's beautiful. He understood that. It might, the difficulty we're facing, the test that we're facing might simply be from life on this planet, but it's still a test. It's still a test. And if all we do is kind of hang out and rebuke it, trying to ask that it go away and say God's going to bring deliverance on, we might be completely missing out on what it is that God wants us to accomplish. I was really thinking about this, praying through this, and thought perhaps it's very confusing to the world to see believers with a lack of grace in trials. If we spend all of our time prophesying a change of circumstances instead of drawing near to God, then we might not be doing God's work, and we might bring radical confusion to the work around us. If people see us going through it with grace, then maybe we're going to glorify God and show people that He will see us through in His goodness. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and He said to me, this is Paul speaking again when he's looking at this trial that he had, this difficulty, this thorn in the flesh. Jesus speaks to him and says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." We need to understand that in the weakness, God's strength is made perfect. His glory is made evident and known in the middle of the whole thing. So Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He knew how to glory in the struggle, glory in the test. That's a whole different perspective. So, out of that test then comes a testimony, the second part in this cycle. Testimony. What we go through in life becomes our testimony, and it is irrefutable, an irrefutable witness to the hand of God. When we've got the truth of a testimony, we've got the witness of a testimony, what God has done, then there is no argument, no dispute in anybody. There's no way for someone to sit there and take that whole thing apart, because we're standing on what God has done. We might have an argument from science. We might have a perspective from geography. We might be able to say, "Hey, this thing happens in physics, and so you got to believe that there's a God," and all those things can be compelling, and we get into apologetics, and that can be beautiful stuff. But the thing that we have that no one can ever argue with is our testimony. When we have the solid reality of what God has done in our life, and people have been able to witness it, we have a testimony, and no one can refute that. No one's able to refute that. A testimony is a powerful, irrefutable thing. 1 Samuel 7, I love this. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now, the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. God brought them deliverance, and Samuel sets up the stone and we're going to put this stone called Ebenezer up. "So far the Lord has helped us. So far the Lord," and that Ebenezer was a witness. It was a monument to the great things that God has done. And we sing about that in a worship song. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." All right. And we're going to keep going. I think that we should figure out some ways, all of us, to raise some Ebenezers in our life. I mean, we can take some of the pictures that we take with our phones, and we can put them, some of them, especially in some places where we can go, "So far God has helped us. So far God has brought us. This has been the hand of God. Look at the miraculous things that God has done. He's amazing." And we've got this testimony because of what God has seen us through. But we forget it so many times. And then we're going through another test and we're going, "Great. this is difficult. This is, I don't know what is going on here. I don't know what the source of this thing is. I don't know why this is happening. Why is this happening to me? And we've forgotten the testimony we have from the last test. If we'll stop and look and go, there's the Ebenezer. So far God has brought me, and he's going to be faithful to complete the work that he's begun. He's not done. We need to raise some Ebenezers in our lives. So when we've got a testimony, then the last part of this whole thing is then we need to testify. When we've been tested, we have a testimony, and now it is time to testify. If you don't tell your story, God can't get the glory. If you don't tell your story, God can't get the glory. Sometimes you wonder, I don't know why the world is such a mess. I don't know why things are so crazy. And maybe it's because we don't have enough people who love Jesus, who God is helping see through all these difficulties and everything that's going on, that we're not testifying to the great things that our God has done. So many people don't know. They don't know. I remember being blown away. It was last Easter, I believe, and we had a student, one of our students from campus was saying she was so excited for Easter because it was the first year that she'd be able to celebrate Easter knowing that it was about Jesus' resurrection. Wow. Walmart didn't testify to that. Okay? Rite Aid didn't testify to that. It's up to us who have passed through the test, who God has seen through, to take the testimony of the great things that God has done and walk in and say, let me tell you of the greatness of my God. And I wonder sometimes if our invitations to things like Easter would be more compelling if we would just stop and tell someone about how good our God is. Let me just tell you for a moment how good my God is. They cannot deny a testimony. They cannot refute the profound work that God has done. Luke 8:39, Jesus said to the man, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. I love that. To be able to be written on my tombstone. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Someone needs to hear my story, your story. They can't argue with it. They'll think of it in the night when they're going through something difficult. One generation needs to tell the next of the great things that our God has done. Who do you need to tell in the week ahead? You've been tested. You've got a testimony. It's time for us to testify. How is it God's going to use you? How is it that God's going to get the glory through the challenges that you're facing right now and going through? Who can you invite to hear the greatest news that ever hit mankind? That Jesus died, took our place, and it didn't end there, but he rose. He rose. He conquered death and the grave, defeated hell, and we serve a living Savior. Hallelujah. It's time for us to take the invitations that Pastor Phil had there and just use them as maybe a way to begin a conversation. I don't know if you've been invited to a church service, but we're going to have a great service, and I just got to tell you, I am so incredibly grateful for the great things that my God has done for me. Let me tell you, I'm not sure where to start, but let me tell you, just this week, well, we're going to invite people into this relationship with God, invite people into the journey of getting to know him, invite people to seek him and find him. We've got to break silence and tell the world the great things that our God has done. Let's pray. Yeah. I think this is a really
profound. Yeah. I think this is a really profound message, and I would like it if you would be willing to pray for us for two things. Number one, that we'd embrace the test. You know, it's really tough to know when do you rebuke the devil and when do you embrace the issues that God is doing. And sometimes we blame the devil for a lot of stuff that God's trying to use to change us. And regardless of where, how it comes, God's really good at using it as a test.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we would have a wisdom to embrace it rather than bemoan it. We sometimes just bemoan what we're going through instead of going, okay, Lord. You know, as Christian was talking about, man, you want to walk by that, and that's what we want to walk by. We want to walk by all of the junk that's in our life, or all those tough things. Instead of embracing it and realizing that from this, I'm going to become stronger in my Christian walk. I'm going to become a stronger man. I'm going to become a stronger husband. I'm going to become a stronger father.
Amen.
I'm going to become a stronger Christian. I'm going to become stronger through all of this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's not hard or difficult or that we may cry or that we may go through some just tough feelings. But if we can get through that, and that's what I want you to pray for us, is that we would see the other side, that God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny, and that if we can stay positive, the biggest thing is we got to stay positive through difficult situations instead of letting them turn negative. Oh, gosh. Oh, me. Oh, that's going to happen. Oh, everything's going to fall apart. Oh, it's... We start going down that line rather than believing, wait a second, God's taking me through a test to do something great. It's going to be awesome on the other side, so I'm going to believe all of this good stuff that's supposed to happen in the process here.
Yeah.
Instead of worrying about it, we embrace it amazingly. And then the other thing is that we have enough guts to really get out. I'm going to ask everybody to take five invitations at least and give them out to five people. And somehow... just give them out and let them know that there's, if people don't come to know Christ, He is the answer for everything. He is the answer for everything.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He is the answer for everything.
Yeah.
And everybody has problems. And Jesus is the answer. And if we can be those that would help negotiate and help them come to understand that Jesus loves them, has a plan for them, and is the answer. And all they have to do is come on Sunday and they're going to see something that will change their lives. Would you pray for us? And if you want to be empowered through any struggle you're going through, I'm gonna stand up and I want to receive the prayer that you want to pray. So anybody else wants to stand up, receive a prayer, please stand.
Amen. Amen. God, we don't get it all the time. We don't. And sometimes in that confusion, we can we'll even get bitter about it. But God, we know that you do understand and that you've seen every test that we're going through years in advance. You knew it was coming. And we know that you'll be faithful to see us through. Yea, that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We need fear nothing because you're with us. Your rod and your staff are going to comfort us and you will see us through. We're walking through by your grace. We're walking through holding your hand. We're walking through even if you have to carry us. We're coming through. God, I ask that you give us the grace to embrace it, to understand the growth that's coming our way. And that, God, we wouldn't turn away from it. We wouldn't resist it. We wouldn't fight it, but that we take that and embrace it so that we can grow and be stronger, so that we're able to be a better witness to the great things that our God has done. God, we don't want to just kind of rest on our laurels. We don't want to just kind of hide in the shadows. But God, we want to let our light so shine before the world around us that they might see it and glorify our God.
Yes,
God, be glorified as you shine through us, we pray. And God, I ask that you would open our eyes to understand the opportunity that's in front of us. There is no lack of people to testify to. God, we pray you give us the eyes to see and the courage to pass that test that stands in front of us, saying, will I break silence and proclaim the greatness of my God? God, we ask you to fill our hearts, that you'd fill this place with people who need to know you, Jesus, and that miracles would happen here in this place, all across this region, as people gather to hear the story of Jesus, our living Savior. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have yet to meet Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life to him, get some things right, they'll be people here, all right, they'll be delighted to pray with you. Please feel free to do that, and let us testify the great things our God has done.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Pastor Joe, for a fresh perspective on dealing with those trials in our life.